Welcome to the Open House Podcast. Conversations exploring life, faith and hope with Stephen O'Doherty.
Prominent evangelical leaders in the United States have been challenged to speak out against racism and hold their president to account following his almost contradictory responses in the days after the recent violent protests that left one dead and tens injured in Charlottesville, Virginia. It was a rally of far right-wing groups under the banner Unite the Right, and it turned nasty as people opposed to their views staged a counter-protest. The original stimulus for the right-wing rally was to protest the taking down of a statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee from a public park. Alt-right political groups were joined by white supremacist groups such as the Ku Klux Klan and groups of neo-Nazis. The sensitivities that led to what happened in Charlottesville cut very deep indeed. The so-called Jim Crow laws that segregated Southern Americans by race are still living history and very raw history for many, many Americans. And anything that reignites the civil rights struggles of the 60s and 70s is highly inflammatory. And that's why the president's initial response was met with such dismay.
We condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence on many sides. On many sides.
The fact that he failed to condemn racism and talked about violence on many sides did nothing to quell the concerns from Charlottesville. In fact, it did the opposite. So a short while later, he emerged to make another statement, this time reading from a prepared speech loaded into a teleprompter.
The Department of Justice has opened a civil rights investigation into the deadly car attack that killed one innocent American and wounded 20 others. To anyone who acted criminally in this weekend's racist violence, you will be held fully accountable. Justice will be delivered. As I said on Saturday, we condemn in the strongest possible terms this egregious display of hatred, bigotry, and violence. It has no place in America. And as I have said many times before, no matter the color of our skin, we all live under the same laws. We all salute the same great flag. And we are all made by the same Almighty God.
That far more statesmanlike approach was well received because it spoke against racism. But any repair that did was undone the very next day, when Donald Trump again went off script. In a press conference at Trump Tower, which began by talking about infrastructure, but ended in a shouting match with reporters.
Excuse me, I saw the same pictures as you did. You had people in that group that were there to protest the taking down of, to them, a very, very important statue and the renaming of a park from Robert E. Lee to another name.
Washington.
No, George Washington was a slave owner. Was George Washington a slave owner? So will George Washington now lose his status? Are we going to take down, are we going to take down statues to George Washington? How about Thomas Jefferson? What do you think of Thomas Jefferson? You like him? Okay, good. Are we going to take down the statue? Because he was a major slave owner. Now are we going to take down his statue? So you know what? It's fine. You're changing history, you're changing culture, and you had people, and I'm not talking about the neo-Nazis and the white nationalists, because they should be condemned totally, but you had many people in that group other than neo-Nazis and white nationalists, okay? And the press has treated them absolutely unfairly.
Well, this must be a distressing time for many Americans, among them evangelicals, the conservative, Bible-believing churchgoers who make up a significant portion of the U.S. electorate. Well, one prominent evangelical, not a Trump supporter, has pleaded with his colleagues to call the president to account. This is what was written by Ed Stetzer. My heart is grieving. Seeing the violent turn things took this afternoon, I am crushed. The alt-right movement is antithetical to the gospel, he wrote. It's an abomination to all that we stand for, and it must be condemned on every level of leadership in the church. There's no room for waffling. We cannot sit in silence, hoping this will pass. Ed Stetzer is a highly regarded commentator, theologian and church planter who currently holds the Billy Graham Chair of Church, Mission and Evangelism at Wheaton College. How can you help Australians understand just how deep these issues live within the soul, psyche and national consciousness of the United States?
Well, I mean, it's really, well, first of all, when you look at some of the racial tensions, you do find churches across the United States this past Sunday speaking very clearly against issues of racism, white supremacy, and more. I think for many, they were disappointed with President Trump's response on Saturday, using phrases like many sides. And yes. So a lot of pastors stepped into the fray and said they wanted to make clear where they stood. And President Trump, I think himself, kind of acknowledged his inadequate, and he wouldn't say these words, but by coming out 2 days later, 48 hours later, which is a long time, and denouncing the white supremacists and more. But it's, I mean, racism is real and present here, you know, just like it is in many places. You know, the individual condition of the human heart, it's about me and it's about us, rather than kind of about what God's doing in the world as a whole.
Are we getting a revisionism of Civil War history with the taking down of statues and so on?
Well, it's a good question. So I think it's a debate about, well, how do you, you know, there's Southern heritage, you know, how do you preserve aspects of Southern heritage? And yet at the same time, there's people say, well, you know, these are symbols of oppression, racism and slavery and more. I mean, the U.S. Civil War, I mean, when Mississippi seceded, it clearly, among many states, it clearly said slavery was the reason. And so I think ultimately, many people are asking the questions, do we want statues and monuments that celebrate this? Now, you know, I don't think anyone's saying that these don't have a place in a history museum, but the question is, do they have a place in a town square celebrating something that ultimately was driven by a preservation of an institution where people owned one another?
Well, while that debate goes on, and while some would exploit it for their own purposes, and including those white supremacists, neo-Nazis, and other so-called alt-right groups that marched, you've got a president there who, in his initial response, didn't acknowledge the awful evil that lies at the heart of that. He later, as you've said, corrected that with a carefully written statement read slightly awkwardly, I think, from a teleprompter.
Oh, not slightly awkwardly. It looked like it was someone holding it in front of him saying, you must read this right now. It was easy to make fun of, but I do think I was glad he did it. And, of course, the press conference the day after undid a lot of that as well. So I think it was disappointing. President Trump clearly stumbled in this. I hope Christians everywhere could agree. I hope Christians who support President Trump could agree and say and desire for something better, a greater sense of clarity, a greater sense of really a renouncing. I mean, again, particularly here, you know, were there bad people on both sides? I'm sure there are bad people on both sides. But there was one group of people who were there who said they were there doing Donald Trump's bidding. And some of those people, you know, specifically mentioned they were emboldened by President Trump, white nationalists and others. And so they are. I mean, people have been emboldened. Some of the worst elements of society have been emboldened by President Trump's election. Now, I'm not saying that that means that President Trump believes all that they believe, but I am saying that it does remind us that he has a unique responsibility, because they say that they're responding to his leadership to disavow them. He did on, I'm trying to remember the days now, on Monday.
Yeah.
And he didn't say that he didn't take that back on Tuesday. He just then went to this idea that there are good people on both sides. And here's, I think Christians need to just condemn racism and condemn, really white supremacy. Full stop. That's it. I mean, you don't need a what about afterwards. You don't need a but these other people really bad too. That kind of stuff, I didn't let my kids do that past like the second grade. So to say, you just need to say this is wrong and period, full stop. And many, many Christian leaders have done that. And ultimately my hope is the president will again come back to that Monday statement with clarity and condemn these worst elements of our society.
Well, now, a couple of years ago, before the election, during, in fact, the runoffs, I had the opportunity to have a discussion with you about this very question. I must say, you helped me to understand how evangelicals could support Donald Trump above some other candidates who are clearly, perhaps, shall we say, more committed to an evangelical life than Donald Trump seems to have been. You helped me to nuance my understanding of that. But then you said, I don't know if you remember, you said at that time, you know, we are going to have to be careful about how we support this president. Last week, you wrote that we cannot sit in silence hoping this will pass. You said, Donald Trump has a board of evangelical advisors. It's time for them to advise. So has the evangelical church been partly responsible for the Donald Trump we see today?
Well, I think it's certainly responsible for the election of Donald Trump. And I think, let me just clarify, though, because when we said the we, I was not a supporter of Donald Trump. And so just so we're clear on the we.
Yes, thank you.
Evangelicals are going to have to ask some of that question. So I do think that... That evangelicals were certainly the propulsion that really pushed Donald Trump forward, even through the primaries and then into the general election. I mean, and Trump recognized that. He would often say that at one rally, he said, "Are there anyone here who's not a conservative Christian?" And I think a few awkwardly raised their hands. And so I do think so. Now, again, you know, you have to remember a little bit that our system here is different. You know, you have an election with two candidates that have any reasonable chance of winning. And for many evangelicals, the idea of electing Hillary Clinton and the consequences of that were severe enough that they would overlook many things about candidate Trump and elect him to be President Trump. But there are consequences to that. But I do think, in answer to your question, I think evangelicals have a responsibility here. And partly because of that, which is why I wrote that. Now, I know many of these advisors. I was asked to be on the evangelical advisory board. They reached out to me and I declined. And so I think for many of these, they do have influence. And, it's a mix, but some of these people, I mean, I know several of these people, I think several of them are good people and deeply love the Lord and love their churches. And I exhorted them and I've actually heard from some of them who actually read the article as well. So I think that they, many of them are speaking into that situation. I mean, I don't know if all of them did, but all of them that I know personally specifically condemned white nationalism and more. I specifically mentioned President Trump needing to do that. I didn't see any of them do that publicly, but some of them have told me that they have done that privately. And I guess that's the decision they had to make, is how they, what does it mean to have that influence? I don't know. I've chosen a different path.
I was present at one occasion when a very prominent Christian evangelical leader, writer, said, well, yeah, you know, Donald Trump has a few character flaws, but we all have character flaws and we need to overlook those because he's delivered us the Supreme Court that we wanted. Now, does that raise questions along the lines of, do the ends justify the means?
Well, certainly. And I would say yes. And so obviously that's why I was not a supporter. But I think at the same time, you'd have to acknowledge here, I mean, our Supreme Court has significant influence on on religious liberty issues that have decades long consequence. Now, yes. Do I get up in the morning and think, man, I'm so glad that, you know, Gorsuch is the most recent Supreme Court nominee and President Trump might nominate one or two more. Do I think that has good opportunities? Yes. I guess people have to ask the question, was it worth it? But again, the thing I try to remember, I try to be very fair. I know many people who deeply love the Lord who looked at the options they had and voted for candidate Trump, who's now President Trump. And again, I think it's important to know that this wasn't a election where people decided whether they were for or against Donald Trump.
Yes.
They decided whether or not they were going to choose him over another candidate in particular. And I think, and I've written widely on this and been quoted widely on this, everywhere from Christianity Today to CNN to Slate Magazine.
Yes.
I mean, Hillary Clinton worked very hard to alienate evangelicals, and she succeeded in doing so. We've never seen a candidate this aggressively and anti what so many evangelicals believe. So again, I don't have all the answers. I you can hear my own voice, your listeners can hear my voice, a frustration that is, I'm just, you know, we're talking right now, I'm discouraged. I just tweeted a few minutes ago, deeply discouraged at the state of evangelicalism right now. And I think ultimately we need a much clearer prophetic witness. I wrote an article after the one you cited that basically talked about, Christians need to be able to I mean, there are some Christians who can't even critique President Trump when he clearly stumbled in this, and there's lots of other instances. And I think we're losing our prophetic witness if we can't speak up and speak out, even with a candidate that we as evangelicals, not necessarily me personally, but as evangelicals feel are delivering Supreme Court judges that are pleasing to them.
Just finally, is it too early to tell how this will end?
Yes, it's definitely too early. I mean, I think, you know, I there were about 10 times in the campaign, I mean, when candidate Trump, you know, made a flippant offhand remark about John McCain not being a hero because he was captured, I actually think I tweeted, well, there goes the Trump campaign, and his numbers went up the next day.
Yep.
And so it's politics are a strange thing. And people respond in ways that make sense to them but may not make sense to us. So what I'm doing is I'm hoping, I'm encouraging evangelicals to have a clear prophetic witness. Do not be beholden to any candidate, individual, or party. And ultimately, to be focused on showing and sharing the love of Jesus in the midst of a broken and hurting world.
And that was very much why we wanted to speak with you this evening. Ed Stetzer, it's been marvelous. Thank you so much for giving us some of your time.
Good to talk to you.
Discover more Open House podcasts at openhousecommunity.com.au.